You know, it's one thing to say it and one thing to sing it. I'll go with him all the way. It is one thing to say it and one thing to sing it. Where he leads me, I will follow. You know, you and I ought to be a people who are willing to follow Christ, to follow him. The Bible says that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Now, most lexicographers and authorities on that particular passage say that in reality, it meant that we were to actually place our foot in the footprint of Jesus. That's how closely we are to follow him. Peter followed afar off, not in the footsteps of our Savior. I hope this morning we understand that. He did leave us an example. Do you realize that everything in life has a pattern? If it is to be constructed right, there must be a pattern, and it must be built according to the pattern. But according to the pattern. What do we mean by that? Most of you who have ever sown or who have ever constructed anything at all know there's a pattern. If you've ever made perhaps a cake or a pie, if you've ever prepared a meal, you know that there are recipes that you must follow. Did you know, according to the Bible, that there are patterns and blueprints? And we need a blueprint to properly estimate or build a house or a building. In the book of Luke, chapter 14 and verse 28, Christ said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first of all and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it?" No one would go out and attempt to build a house or to build a building without having considered the cost that was involved. Several years ago, when we built this building and when we built the activity building, we first all got together and we sat down and we evaluated the cost, and we wanted to make sure that we had the money to bring it to completion, lest someone would laugh and scoff. Do you remember several years ago when they were building the what we call then the Super Collider? And millions of dollars went into the construction of the Super Collider. But our government finally determined that we did not have enough money to bring it to completion, and so it stopped. And people began to laugh, and they began to scoff at those who attempted to bring it to completion. We need a pattern if we're going to make clothes or if you're going to make furniture. You wouldn't build it without a pattern. Now, I know some gifted ladies maybe that might be able to make something without a pattern, but by and large, women who are going to sew or those who are seamstress will use a pattern. And those who are going to build a house or build a building like this are going to use what we call a blueprint. It is true. We need a pattern. But what about religion? Is there really a pattern in religion that we must follow in order to be correct? Do you realize that many contend that there is no pattern that we have to follow? You've heard people say, just do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. It doesn't really matter what you do in matters that are religion. Well, it's interesting that according to the Bible, that is not true at all. For when God was dealing with Moses in the Old Testament, when Moses was preparing to build what then was called the tabernacle prior to the temple, God told Moses exactly how to build that tabernacle. And in the book of Exodus 25 and verse 40, the word says, "And look that thou make them after the pattern which he showed thee in the mount." Moses was not the architect. Moses didn't draw up, if you will, the blueprint. He didn't establish the pattern, but the pattern was established by Almighty God. God told him exactly how he wanted it built. And in the book of Exodus chapter 36 in verse 30, God says again to Moses, "And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle," he said, "according to the fashion thereof, which was again showed thee in the mount." In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says, "As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to build the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou shalt make all things according to the pattern that was showed thee in the mount." Now, when you talk about a pattern, what do we mean by a pattern? Well, a pattern is simply a conformity to which a thing must be made according to there. Now, if you're going to build something and you're going to build it exactly like the thing that you're looking at, then it's going to have to be built with a certain degree of conformity. And so Moses, in order to build that tabernacle like God wanted it built, had to use precisely the measurements. He had to use precisely everything that God said that must be used in order for it to be built or constructed in the right way. Do you realize that the same was true in the Old Testament when God told Noah to build the ark? It is true. He told Noah to build it out of gopher wood. Someone has raised the question, well, what if Noah had used some other kind of wood than gopher wood? Would it have floated? Well, I don't know. But I know one thing, that God specifically told him how to build it. He told him the dimensions thereof. And if we're going to honor God, that we must build according to the pattern. Now, I understand that we're no longer under the Old Testament. I understand that. But there are principles that are laid down in the Holy Scripture for us today. And in the book of Galatians 3, verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, "Wherefore the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ." The Old Testament, you couldn't understand the New Testament without having some working knowledge of the Old Testament. And the Bible says that the Old Testament was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, he says, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. That's why we're no longer under the Old Testament law. The Bible says that Christ took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Well, what's the value of the Old Testament law then? Well, in Romans 15 and verse 4, the Bible again addresses that thought. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning," he says, "that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And then we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, that God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers and the prophets in the past, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ, by whom also he made all things. Well, is there a pattern in the New Testament like there was in the Old? Again, some contend that there is not. Some say there is no pattern, and it amazes me that people can read the Bible and read all these great commands of God and feel that there is no pattern. And believe it or not, there are many today that believe that we ought to rewrite the New Testament. There are many today, and we mentioned this in our Bible class this morning, that believe that the New Testament is irrelevant to modern times. There are those who believe that we have the right to augment, we have the right to ameliorate, we have the right to change in any way those words that Christ spoke and those words that were given to the apostles by inspiration 2,000 years ago. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I really believe that some of my brethren, honestly, I really believe this, that there are some who would be delighted if we had a religious convention like they're getting ready to have down in Tampa, Florida, and to giving us the opportunity to rewrite the platform. Let me tell you something this morning. Christ is the platform. And the Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 says, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus my Lord." He is the chief cornerstone. And when you read the book of Acts 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved." The platform has been written, and it came from Almighty God. Man does not have the right. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 and 24. The Bible says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It is true. But there is good news in the Word of God. Do you realize, you've often heard it said, that the word gospel means good news? That really is what it's about, isn't it? You know, when you read the Palestine Herald Press, or you read the Tyler paper, or you read the Dallas News, and perhaps the Washington Times, or New York Times, you will find that it is filled with bad news. But the gospel is good news. Good news. There is a pattern for us to follow. And the Word of God is the only thing that can lighten our way. David in Psalms 119, verse 105, said, Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. And then in Psalms 18 and verse 28, For Thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God shall enlighten my darkness. We don't have to walk in darkness anymore. For the light of life has come. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Paul says that you and I, as Christians, have been translated out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of God's dear Son. Is there a pattern? Is there a pattern in the New Testament? Yes. As a matter of fact, God warns us about even tampering with that pattern. In Revelation 20, you may do it with a cake. I've seen women do that. You know, they might make a cake and leave certain ingredients out, and they may, you know, add. How many of you know women that cook? Y'all don't know any women that cook? You know some women that cook, surely. Now, some of those people, you know, my grandmother and my aunt used to do this all the time. I'd go to her house a lot of times, and she always made certain things that I really liked. And I'd ask her, I'd say, how'd you make that? Well, I put a dash of this, a little bit of that, and a dash of this. I'd say, what? Could you write that down? Oh, no, I couldn't write it down. I don't know. I just throw a little of this and a little of that and a little bit of this and bunch of this, but you know what? When it comes to religion, you can't throw in a dash of this and take out a little bit of that. We have to follow the divine pattern that was given by God. And in the book of Revelation 22, 18 and 19, John writes, and he says, For I testify every one of you that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in the books. Now think about that. That's a pretty stern warning, isn't it? That tells me God says, I can't add to the pattern. I can't change the platform. I can't take away from the blueprint. I have to build it exactly like God said. And even the pattern of the Old Testament stated, You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, but that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Now, the pattern of the New Testament states this also. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, get the picture here. Paul's concerned because there are certain people in the first century when Paul is writing this letter that have turned away from truth, and they have been turned unto that which is wrong. They started following the platform of man instead of the platform of God. They began to construct their own blueprint instead of following the master print. And so Paul says, You've been turned away from the gospel to another, he says, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, he says, preach any other gospel unto you, then that which has been preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man shall preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed, or anathema in the Greek. You see, if there is no pattern, there's only total chaos. Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 13, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that we might henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, he says. If there is no pattern, how can we possibly be what God wants us to be? How do you know that you built the house right? How do you know that you made that garment right? If you do not follow the pattern, and if there is no pattern, I'm telling you, folks, we have a lot of folks today that say it makes no difference what you believe. It makes no difference what you teach. It makes no difference about how you please God. It makes no difference whether you observe the Lord's Supper every Sunday, or whether you give unto God, or whether you come to church, whether you get involved in the kingdom of God. It makes no difference. If that's true, then we can fold up this book and never read it again. But I'm telling you, it is not true. It is not true. Is there a pattern in the New Testament like there was in the Old? You see, some people say that Christianity is chaotic. You ever heard people say that? And they look around the religious world and they see all these things going on. And, you know, you got people jumping pews and standing up in the aisles and dancing around and waving hands and shouting and all those kind of things. And you got people that sit sometimes very stoically and very quietly and all these kind of things. What is right? How do you know what is right? You know what? Man created this. He did. It is chaotic. But Christ created true Christianity. God did. That's Christianity. And Christ prayed for unity in John 17, verse 21, that they may all be one. But look again at what man made. Man created modernism. He created liberalism. We have all kinds of sectarian movements today in the religious world. We have denominations. We have all kinds of errors that are being perpetrated in the name of Christ, not according to the pattern. False doctrine. That's what man creates when he deviates from God's platform. It is true. The New Testament does teach a pattern. For 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, the Word of God says, hold the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Do you know the New Testament? I've heard people argue, well, the New Testament's not a law. It's not. Well, isn't it interesting that in the Bible it is referred to in the book of James 1:29 as the law of liberty? But whoso looketh into that perfect law of liberty, that is the New Testament, in Christ, which continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It is a law. It is a law that was given by God in His Son. For Hebrews 8 and verse 10 says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord God, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be unto them a God, and they shall be unto me a people. Now, I've heard people argue that the doctrine of Christ is not a law. Not true. The doctrine or teaching of Christ is a law. Since doctrine is Christ's law, then there must be a pattern of rules and regulations that you and I must follow to please Him. And Jesus taught in Matthew 28 and verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And in Acts 2 and verse 42, the Bible says that the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Listen to this. And fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And when we talk about the apostles' doctrine, it was the doctrine that came from Christ. They were not teaching the doctrines of men. They were not looking at some kind of blueprint other than that which came from Christ. Because there had been strong warnings against doing that in the book of Matthew 15, verse 8. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. We need to follow the blueprint. The New Testament has a pattern. It's been given to us. And in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt save thyself and those that hear thee. Now, if you could just back that up in reverse, if we don't hold to the doctrine or to the pattern, we will not be saved. And those that hear us teach false doctrine will be lost as well. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, every word of God is pure, and He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And thou shalt not add unto the words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Well, what happens if we don't keep the pattern? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21 and following, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many great and wonderful works? And Christ will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Jesus left us a pattern that we must walk in the light of His Word. And it is something that we must continue doing, walking in His light. There are some people who begin to walk in the light, but before you know it, they're off track and they're walking in darkness. But the Bible says it is a continual walk with Jesus. For in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says that if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all of our sins. We must keep walking in the light with Christ. For Jesus told the Pharisees again in Matthew 15, verse 7 and following, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Let me ask you a question this morning. Can you truthfully say that I am following Jesus Christ? Are you anchored to the one who can save you? Are you honoring the platform of Christ? Are you planted by the Father? Have you been born again of incorruptible seed? That is, have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sin? For 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 states, being born again, listen, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord will abide forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, Matthew 24, 35, but my word will not pass away. It will not. For Luke 8 and verse 11, the Bible says that the seed that we're talking about here is the word of God. Jesus went to great lengths to explain it. Are you following the pattern of God regarding salvation? You know, because of all of the religious confusion today in today's world, and because of all of the erroneous teaching, there are so many people that are confused. They're confused about a lot of things. They listen to some folks and they say, you go this way. And others say, no, it's this way. And others say, no, it's this way. Others say, don't go that way, but go this way. Instead of looking at all the man-made constructed road signs to heaven, let's start looking at the road sign that God erected and realize that we don't have to be confused. Is there some confusion in your mind this morning about why? Why should we be baptized? About when should we be baptized? Or about where should it be administered? Where should it be done? Or how do we do it in the right way? Would you believe that there's a lot of confusion about that one issue? There are some people who ask the question, why? Why do I need to be baptized? I don't see that as a big issue. Christ saw it, taught it. And everybody who ever became children of God were baptized. They followed that pattern of God. There are some questions today about when. Some people raise the question. Some little babies, they put water on their head when they're little bitty babies, and they call it baptism. But that isn't what Christ called it. He said a man has to believe in order to be properly baptized for the remission of sins. A lot of confusion about it. There are some who are so confused about where. They think it has to be done in a church building. It could be done in a swimming pool. It could be done in a lake. It could be done in a river. Doesn't make any difference. As long as one is baptized according to the Word of God. And that gets to the question, how? How is baptism properly administered? Well, when one is a penitent believer in Jesus Christ, he is ready to give up his sinful walk, his sinful life, his own platform, his own blueprint for his life, and he is willing to conform to the teaching of Jesus Christ, then he is to be taken and he is to be lowered in water. Then he is to be raised out of water and begin his walk with Jesus. And he is to be baptized properly for the remission of sins. You're not to be baptized to show you've been saved somewhere. You're not to be baptized because you just feel it's the right thing to do. You're not to be baptized because everybody else is doing it. But you are to be baptized or immersed because Christ commanded it, and commanded it for a specific purpose and reason, that you were to be baptized in order to have your sin remitted and forgiven. What is baptism? Good question, isn't it? The Bible talks about it in this way in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's what baptism is. And baptism, according to the same passage, even says that we are saved by baptism. No confusion about that. You can't be saved by good works if you're saved by baptism. You can't be saved simply by walking up to the front of the building and acknowledging God if baptism is a thing that saves us. And that's precisely what Peter said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Go back and read verse 20 and 21. And if you this morning are willing to follow him out of a deep conviction, you can be a Christian today. It's that simple. It is true. You can be baptized. You can. Lowered in water, raised out of water, in the likeness of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And baptism into Christ brings newness of life. It does. For Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 6, the Bible teaches that in Christ there is newness of life. Read with me on the screen. In the book of Romans 6, verse 3 through 6, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Notice that the newness of life does not precede New Testament baptism, but it follows New Testament baptism. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, I know the pundits out in the religious world today would have you believe something contradictory to what I'm teaching you this morning, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm not doing this for any special brownie points. I'm telling you the truth this morning. And I challenge you to go to the Word of God to make sure it's true. I don't want you to be lost. And your soul is at stake when you anchor your faith to the platform of men, instead of following the blueprint of Jesus the Christ. The gospel plan of salvation will never be marked down or rewritten. It won't. There are no blue light specials, no smiley faces, marked down prices, just the gospel. It's the Word of God, as it really is. As someone said, according to the book of Romans 6, that the wages of sin have never been reduced. It is still death and separation from God. Let me ask you a question this morning in closing. Are you walking toward Jesus? Just stop and think about this morning. Are you walking toward Jesus? Are you walking away from him? Are you closer to Jesus today because you're walking toward him? Or would you have to confess this morning that you've been walking away from him and you're not as close to Jesus as you once were? You're walking away from him. But this morning, if you're ready to walk toward him and you're ready to kneel at the cross, then you're ready to obey God and follow his blueprint. Do you realize that tomorrow could be too late? It could. Has been for a lot of folks. Tomorrow could be too late for you. If you neglect to follow the plan of Jesus today, and I'm going to tell you something, you've heard the gospel. You can't stand in the presence of God and in the face of your Maker if tomorrow is too late for you and say, God, if I had just known. Because I'm telling you this morning, you do know. The clock of life is wound but once. And no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. So live and love and toil with the plan. For someday God will reach out and he will call to man. I hope this morning that you're prepared to meet God. I fear maybe that some of you are not, and I'm not being judgmental. But could there be? Could there be some soul in this audience this morning that needs to kneel at the cross of Jesus? Could there be some soul that has turned away from your Master and needs to come back home to God? What if tomorrow were too late? What if death sealed your fate
today. And you lay in a funeral shroud at the local mortuary tomorrow. Upon what would you rest then? The song we're about to sing says, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I'm the clay. So mold me and make me after thy will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still." I hope you mean that this morning. It's not just a song. It's not just words. It's an attitude of heart that says, "God, here I am, ready to be constructed in the likeness of your Son, to follow your blueprint this morning, to rest upon your platform while we stand and while we sing."